First reading from Psalm 139, verse 1 to 5 and 12 to 18. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God, how vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te Ke e hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise Christ's word.
Pakamoniti, yeah.
That was exciting. Wonderful. Thank you, Hazel. Morena, good morning. I'm Ian Scarlett. Jenny and I have enjoyed being involved in this congregation since we moved here about 10 years ago. In the church year, this is the second Sunday of Epiphany. It's the time when we revisit the stories about Jesus starting his ministry, when he broke onto the public scene, making his way into the lives of unsuspecting Galileans and offered them the life-transforming opportunity of becoming his followers. I've kind of subtitled this Living Well for Jesus in 2021, because for me that's what this is all about. You'll get to understand that as we go along. So during January, we tag along, straining to hear over the din of New Year celebrations, summer holidays, and the COVID-19 pandemic, stretching to catch a glimpse of Jesus over 2,000 years of history. As we read the stories and hear his sayings, we wonder about the disciples and try to imagine ourselves, say, as guests at the wedding in Cana, where he turned water into top quality wine. Our gospel reading places us right at the beginning of all this, just after the baptism, after his baptism by John the Baptist, which Penny taught us about last Sunday. We begin at the point where the carpenter from Nazareth began breaking new ground by initiating an organized effort to communicate a message from God. His first order of business was to find some people who'd like to join him. Find someone who might want to sign on, try out for the team. For Philip and Nathaniel, I imagine it was something like the first day of a new job, or joining a new club, or settling into a new community. Towards the end of last year, I competed in a daytime event at the Waikanae Table Tennis Club. I had played at the club's Monday evening sessions for several years, but this was my first opportunity to play with people who attended the afternoon sessions, like Val here. I was introduced to around 25 people, most of whom I had never met before. Feeling quite nervous about the competition, which involved playing doubles with six different partners, I tried my best to remember names and be as relaxed and friendly as possible. But it wasn't easy. Like any social group, they had ways of doing things that I was learning for the first time. And that is what was happening in our reading. Jesus was making his way through Galilee and had already convinced a couple of John the Baptist's disciples that they might want to follow along. Then there was Nathanael. We're very carefully told that he was sitting under a tree, a fig tree. This detail suggests that he was thinking about things. That's what people in those days did when they wanted to think about things. They'd sit under a fig tree, working out some of the issues of his life. In fact, he may very well have been asking the same questions all of us ask in a variety of ways throughout our lives. What is the meaning of life? Am I happy? Where do I fit? With whom do I belong? Are there people around me who really care about me? Am I living my life well? Or he may have simply been deciding what to have for lunch. But the fact that Jesus refers to him as an Israelite in whom there is no deceit or no falsehood makes me think he was asking those kind of questions. Thinking about the meaning of life, Henry Nouwen wrote, "Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. Being beloved expresses the core truth of our existence. Becoming beloved is the great spiritual journey we have to make." I think that is very profound, don't you? As this year has begun, the Holy Spirit has been whispering encouragement to me about continuing my journey of becoming beloved, letting myself be loved by God. Writing to to the church at Thessalonica, Paul wrote this: "With each of you, we were like a father with his child, holding your hand, whispering encouragement, showing you step by step how to live well before God, who called us into his own kingdom, into this delightful life." That's the way the Message translation translates those verses. I love that picture of a father holding his child's hand and whispering encouragement. It reminds me of visits to the play equipment at Waikanae Park with my grandchildren. I'm sure some of you have been there as well. After they've checked out the swings and the big green slide, and they always want me to stand at the bottom of the slide and shout at them up the slide while they're waiting at the top, then they want to test their agility on the horizontal bars. I'll help them stand on one end of the bar and whisper encouragement as they walk to the other end, often with one hand in mine. And the verse in Thessalonians continues, showing you step by step how to live well before God. That's my focus for this year. And this morning, I'd like to invite you to join me in living well for Jesus in 2021. Going back to Nathanael, who was in a questioning mood, Philip ran up to him, disturbing his thoughts, full of exciting news. "We found the Messiah of Israel. We found the meaning of life. We found what it is we've always been looking for. You know, the dissatisfaction we always were talking about. We found the answer. Come on." Nathanael's first response was probably a question. "Who is this person you're talking about? I've never heard of him." Nathanael may have asked that question because he'd been around Galilee for a while. He was from Cana. And there was nothing on the horizon that he'd seen that merited this kind of excitement. From his perspective, there was nothing much going on to answer the big questions of life. "It's Jesus. Jesus," Philip exclaimed. "You know, from Nazareth." Nathanael responded with a question: "Can anything good come from there, from Nazareth?" Nathanael asked that question because he was just a little skeptical. He knew what kind of people lived in Nazareth because he'd been living in Galilee all his life. Nazareth wasn't the most desirable town in Galilee. In the same way that some of the towns on the Kapiti coast or the suburbs of Wellington aren't considered the most desirable suburbs or the most desirable towns. From his perspective, there was plenty to question about the possibility of a Messiah coming from Nazareth. Could a person from Nazareth answer the longing in his heart, give him the purpose, belonging, meaning he had longed for? Somehow, Philip convinced him to come along to meet Jesus. As they were approaching, Jesus said to Nathanael, "Here truly is an Israelite, someone who really wants to connect with God, someone who will ask and question and think about and only settle for the truth." Nathanael replied with another question, this one full of surprise and doubt. "How do you know me?" Nathanael was the kind of person who was going to take the time to ask questions of anyone who claimed to have the answer to how he could live his life in such a way that he could be satisfied, could feel that he was living a truly meaningful life. Well, you know what happened. At the end of our gospel reading, Nathanael made the decision to follow Jesus. But that only happened after a major shift occurred in his thinking. Question after question. Nathanael wanted to have his questions answered. And all of those questions were about his life. I've never heard of this person, and I know a lot of people. And why would I even want to associate with someone from Nazareth? How could my life possibly be better by associating with a Nazarene? And then, how does he know me? What could he possibly know about me? How does what he is saying impact me? It seemed like the whole experience for Nathanael was all about him. Until that moment when the light went on, when the fog cleared, when he recognized something very important. He recognized that his questions about the meaning of life, this decision about whether to follow, well, it wasn't about him at all. It was about following Jesus. It was right then that things finally clicked for Nathanael. That Jesus was the Son of God. That his message would change the world. That this opportunity to follow, to give up his whole life, to be part of the dream Jesus had for the world, was what he was looking for. And when Nathanael finally figured it out, he gasped in recognition and said, "Teacher, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. You are the one I've been looking for." And in Henry Nouwen's words, he began the great spiritual journey of becoming beloved. Do you remember when you finally figured it out and began following Jesus? For me, it was like this. In my early 20s, I thought God couldn't possibly be interested in me. I'd grown up as a preacher's kid. My dad was a Presbyterian minister, and I often heard prayers at church services addressed to Almighty God, and I thought God was so big that he couldn't possibly be interested in me. Well, that was until Jenny invited me to go to a Sunday evening church service. At the time, we were living in Wairoa, up on the east coast, halfway between Napier and Gisborne. I was a mathematics teacher at the college, and I hadn't attended a church service for around 3 years, but Jenny's invitation made me curious. During the service, the speaker prayed for all the teachers in Wairoa, kindergarten teachers, primary school teachers, and the college teachers. Halfway through his prayer, I realized that he was praying for me. And it made me think, I wonder if God really could be interested in me after all. Funny, isn't it? And it was later that evening that I decided to follow Jesus. Now, almost every day, we go through the same process that Nathanael went through. We think first about ourselves and then realize that it's not all about us. If we're going to live well for Jesus, we need to lift our thoughts above our life, our happiness, our preferences, our success, and our accomplishments. The life of a disciple is about following Jesus. And Elizabeth Elliot points out that discipleship is a lifelong action. She writes, "One does not surrender a life in an instant. That which is lifelong can only be surrendered in a lifetime." Interesting, isn't it? And it makes me think, every day I'm faced with the challenge, am I going to follow Jesus today? That's what she's talking about. She was the wife of Jim Elliot, the missionary who was who lost his life trying to reach the Orca Indians in South America way back in 1956. She went on to remarry, and she went back to the very people that her husband lost his, her first husband was killed by, and reached out to those people. Amazing story. Anyway, following Jesus means living life as servants. It turns our usual view of success on its head. It's about taking up our cross and following, no matter what the cost, just so we can be part of the grand and wonderful work of God to transform this world. For Nathanael, it took a lot of questions, but when it finally clicked, when he finally realized that what he was looking for was the one who stood in front of him asking him to follow, nothing could stop him from packing up his bag, scrambling to his feet to accept the challenge of discipleship, to really and truly live well for Jesus by giving his life away. So, what about us? Are we up for the challenge of discipleship in 2021? I am. Are you? At the beginning of his letter to the church at Colossae, Paul wrote, "We pray that you'll live well for the Master, making him proud of you as you work hard in his orchard." So my prayer for us this morning is that we'll do just that. Live well for Jesus in 2021. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you that you promised to love us and be with us always. Thank you for inviting us to be followers of Jesus like Philip and Nathanael. Please help us to live well for him this year. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.